1, starting a new section. If you need a Bible this morning, lift up your hands. The ushers will get a Bible to you. Again, that's Romans chapter 12. Picking it up in verse 1, happy Mother's Day to all of you moms. And hey, make sure that no moms escape out that side door, but go out these two. We want to give you a rose for happy Mother's Day, so make sure you go out the right door. We have guards over there, so I want you sneaking out. So hey, also we can use some help in the worship ministry, so if you play an instrument, please see Pastor Rob. Let him know and fill out a ministry app, do an audition, and we can use you in ministering to the body that way. There's also a marriage enrichment weekend coming up. It's not us doing it, it's the Faithful Forever ministry doing it, but we just want to let people know it's July 22nd, 24th. Information's out at the information counter or in your bulletin, I think. And you can go online, get registered for that. And don't forget, also, we can still use help. We need some help with a VBS, so you can grab one of these cards and go online, get registered to help out with VBS, and you just follow the directions. Or if you get the e-bulletin, you can click the link there. Or if you go to the website, there's a link to go to. So lots of ways, but you can get involved in helping out with the kids this summer. All right? Let's pray. Father, we do lift up this time to you, God, and we pray that, Lord, you would bless this time. We want to know you more. And Lord, as we change now in the book of Romans from, God, understanding and believing and putting faith in the truth about you and about our salvation, to allowing that to work in our lives and change us, Lord, I pray that you would just open up our hearts, Lord, that we would better understand in this relationship with you, Lord, the way that we can honor you because of what you've done for us. Lord, the way we can be involved in what you're doing. Lord, the way we can begin to understand your heart for our world. So I do pray that you would bless this time, that, Lord, some incredible things would happen, not simply intellectually, but more importantly, spiritually in our lives. That we could be men and women that as we leave here today, Lord, that we would be convinced that we can be world changers. We can make a difference in our culture, in our world. And God, that we would go out and do the things that you've shown us to do, God. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, we're at that last section here in Romans, and for the next several months, we're going to be talking about God's will and looking at it several different ways, and I think that's important. But if you remember when we started the book of Romans, almost a year ago is when we started the book of Romans, and we looked at the first three chapters were dealing with the plague of the heart and what's going on in our heart and what that means to us and the necessity of salvation. Then we looked for quite a while on chapters 4 through 8, we were looking at the road to righteousness and what Jesus Christ has done for us and how that, again, influences us. And then we went to, for the last few months, we've been looking at God's plan for Israel. And now we hit, to me, the highlight of the book of Romans, for me personally. We look at God's will for our lives in so many different areas. And today we're just going to talk about God's general will for our lives. And you know, one of the questions I personally get asked the most is, how can I find God's will for my life? And you know, as people want to know that, they're wanting to understand that. And I get that. But I personally, I'm a person, I don't think it's that complicated. Number one, I don't serve a God who's a trickster, who's making me try and figure things out, making me buy the decoder ring so I can, you know, get and understand and figure him out. My God wants to and desires to reveal His will to me. And I think one of the simplest definitions I've ever heard of finding God's will comes from Augustine, one of the early theologians, a really old dead guy. And here's what he said. He says, if you really want to know God's will, here's how you can find God's will and do God's will. Love God with all your heart and then do whatever you want. And I think that's, you know, that some of you guys are going, that's way too simple. But it's true. And so today we're going to focus in on that and think about what does it mean? What does it mean to love God with all of my heart? And I believe once we grasp that, then we can do whatever we want because He's got our heart. And so Paul here, listen, now Paul, as he begins to shift, he becomes very personal, and I really like that. He's kind of stepping down, like, from being the Apostle Paul, and he's joining in, and he's letting them know, hey, you and I, Church at Rome, or you and I, Calvary Chapel, Sierra Vista, we're all in this thing together. We're doing this thing called Christianity together. It's not you have a hierarchy and you have those who are superior and then others and then others. No, we're all in this together. And we need to embrace it and we need to walk it together. And then here's the great thing. Then we need to influence our world. That's what we're here for. One person said it this way. You can either be a thermometer and be changed by the temperature, or you can be the thermostat that changes the temperature. And, you know, I think way too often as Christians, we're thermometers. And we need to be some thermostats. We need to, like, be the ones that are doing things. So let's read the first couple verses, and we're going to come back and kind of dissect it and look at things. But Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy to God, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable worship and service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So Paul lays it out, and you know, it's interesting. I think this was probably one of the very first verses I ever memorized. And some of you are going, but you kind of messed it up when you read it. It's because I memorized it in the NIV, and I'm reading it in the New King James. So now I've memorized it in the New King V. Kind of, I just combine them and it kind of comes together in my mind. But listen, this is so important. And here's what I love. Listen, here's what I love. The heart of Paul. Notice what he says. It depends on your translation. In the New King James, King James, he says, I beseech you. In others, he says, I urge you. But bottom line, here's what we could put in there. Paul is saying, I beg you. Don't you like that? Listen carefully. Paul's not saying, I command you. Paul's not saying, I order you. He's saying, I beg you. Listen, he's getting close to the people, and he's understanding, man, he's understanding the importance of what he's about to tell them. And listen, you can't force people to do what Paul is talking about. You can't make people do that. And here's what's great. I mean, even in the original language, it's not written in any kind of a command form. It's written in a form that is saying, I beg you, I really want you to do this. This is really a good thing to do. I really want you to stop and listen to me now. And then he says, I beseech you or beg you or urge you. And he says, therefore. The therefore is in different places in different translations. But we've talked about it when the therefore is there. You got to ask what the therefore is there for, right? And could it be he's just pulling out of verse 36 of chapter 11 that we read last week where he says, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Therefore, I beseech you. Could he be pulling out of that? Or could he be pulling out of how about 30 through 36? Or how about just chapters 9, 10, and 11? Or how about all 315 verses that have gone before this? You see, I think Paul is drawing that therefore from everything he's just told the church at Rome or the church at Calvary Chapel. And he's drawn everything. Listen, he's saying, for almost a year now, we've been looking at the condition of man, the blessing of man, the plan of God. We've been dealing with these things, and we've been getting all of this information that hopefully has impacted our lives, that we've made and appropriated as truth for us. And he says, therefore, listen, if all of that is true, then here's what you need to understand and do with what you've just learned. Here's what I love. Cults and legalists and the hardcore people, they say, you know what, if you do this, then you can live. But the Bible says this, if you live, then you can do this. You see, and that's what Paul's saying, because chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11 are true, then you can do this. This is the result of that. And I love that. So he's drawing that conclusion. And then before we really get into it, the last thing he does is he calls them brethren, right? And remember, he's kind of been bringing together the Gentiles and the Jews and letting them know we're all the same. But I think it's even greater than that. Paul's saying, listen, I'm equal with you. I'm part of what's going on. I'm doing what God has called me to do, and I'm urging you to do what God has called you to do. We need to get in this, man, and we need to row this boat so we can get to the other side, and we all need to do our part, and we need to get going on this, right? So he's joining with them. Don't you love just the start of this? As you look at it and you think about it and you begin to understand it and even just contemplate a little bit, just the first few words we've looked at, and you begin to think, man, this is going to be something powerful. This is not, again, not just something we need to just read, we need to memorize. Like I said, I memorized it as a young Christian, and you know, I know I didn't fully understand it, and then every time I study it, I think I understand it a little bit more, and it makes me want to study it more. But listen, then he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, now check this out, by the mercies of God. Oh. Not the mercy of God. Did you pick up on that? It's plural. By the mercies of God. The whole idea of, once again, chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. You see how he keeps drawing back on that? Because, listen, he urges us that by the mercies of God that we offer ourselves. By the mercies of God, listen carefully. You don't have to achieve something to do what Paul's about to call us to do. God has done it. It's by his mercies. You know, because I hear a lot of people say, well, you know what, I would serve God, or I would get more involved, or I would go deeper, but you know, I haven't read my Bible enough. Or, you know, I'm just a new Christian. I haven't done, listen, or some of us, I'm not holy enough. Because it's kind of what we're taught. That's kind of what people put on us. You know, if you're holy enough, then you can do this. And here's what Paul says. What I'm about to tell you to do, you need to do by the mercies of God. You need to understand God and what he's done on your behalf. And because of that, because of his mercies, then you follow through. I mean, don't you think it gets better and better? And then listen, by the mercies of God, now here comes the big one, that by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Oh. You know, the problem with living sacrifices is they keep crawling off the altar. It's a bummer about it, right? And here's what Paul is letting us know. We need to offer our bodies. Now, when I studied this and I looked at it, it was kind of interesting to me because of the discussion. It's always interesting to me to read the real brainiac people, and you know, they get into these deep theological discussions and they begin to dissect things and look at things. And once again, I'm kind of a simple guy. I don't think this is really that difficult to understand what he's saying. But a lot of them say, okay, here's what Paul is letting us know, that we need to, you know, offer this physical body, our bodies. Well, I think that's true, but I think it's greater than that. Well, the next verse he's going to say, we need to be renewing our minds, and that's how we offer our bodies. And when he's telling us to offer our bodies, I don't think he's just talking about the physical body, because that wouldn't be that hard to do. And then they get into these big things, like the Greeks thought the body was evil, and you have to change your body, and you have to do this thing and that thing. I don't for a minute think Paul was trying to explain some deep theological thing here. Here's what Paul was saying. When he's saying, I urge you to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, here's what he's saying. I urge you to offer yourselves as a living sacrifice. You, put it on the altar. You come and you offer yourself. Now listen, that's a huge thing, because here's what he's saying. I want you to take you, and I want you to offer yourself to God, so that you're no longer doing everything you want to do, and now you're beginning to do what God wants to do. You're no longer putting your desires, your stuff in front of you. You're putting God's desires and God's heart in front of you, and you're beginning to walk in that, and you're giving yourself totally and fully to that. That's what Paul's talking about. You know, in the Old Testament, there's several offerings written about, but they kind of boil down to four major ones, and then those four major ones sort of boil down to two. And you can look them up for homework. You can read Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. Read that to your mom for Mother's Day. It'll be a blessing. But as you begin to break those down, you come down with two different types of offering you have. First, reconciliation offerings. You come and to be reconciled, and you would bring an offering to be reconciled. And so there's several different ways that God promoted that and talked about that. And then there was the celebration of reconciliation offerings that Paul talks about. In verse 1 of chapter 12, Paul is not telling us to bring the reconciliation offering. Why? Because that's what chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 are about. They're all about Jesus being the reconciliation for us. And if you've forgotten that, go back and read those and go over those, especially chapter 4 and chapter 5 and chapter 6, and begin to understand that he's the propitiation for our sin. He's laid all of that out. So what is he saying when he's saying you and I? Because I think way too many people get it backwards. I think way too many people think, if I'm offering myself to God, it has to be a reconciliation. No, you're already reconciled to God. He's already forgiven you. He's already, listen, made you holy. He's already made you part of his family if you're born again. And obviously he's talking to born again people. So here's what he's saying. We need to offer ourselves as that burnt offering, as that celebration. Listen what we're doing. We're giving ourselves to God because of what he's done for us. And we're beginning to understand, and we're looking at that. And we're saying, man, if that all is true, wow. God, you get all of me, because you know what? I can't believe that a God would do that for me. I can't believe that that's really happened. You know, I wake up every day and I'm amazed I'm saved. I'm amazed that I have a relationship. Do you understand that we have an intimate, close, dynamic relationship with the Creator of the universe? A lot of us strive after relationships with different people or whatever, and you know we and I think that's good, but man, I mean, some of us kind of dream of, man, if I could just meet and fill in the blank, you know, some hero you have or whatever, and you just think of that. Do you know what? Every day you can sit and talk to the one who created the entire universe. To me, that's crazy. So because of all of that, here's what he's saying. Because that's true, celebrate that. And you celebrate that, listen, you celebrate that by offering yourself. In the Old Testament, they would celebrate the reconciliation offering by bringing a burnt offering. And here's the thing, here's what I like about that as we think about that. I'm going to just give you four, maybe five cool things about that burnt offering that they would bring. Number one, it was always voluntary. You weren't commanded to bring it. You brought it because you were amazed that you were reconciled to God. And you voluntarily brought this offering. And then, secondly, it was always a complete... Listen, when you brought a burnt offering, you know what happened to the burnt offering? It got burnt. You were giving it totally to God. You weren't saying, okay, God, you can have the leg and I'll take this part. You're giving it all to Him. That's kind of cool, huh? And then it was also sacrificial. It was something, listen, it was something precious to the worshiper. He brought it as a sacrifice, and it cost him something. And it was worth something to that person that brought that thing. And then, my favorite part, the Bible says it was always well-pleasing to God. Whenever you read about those, it says God would smell the aroma, and it would be a blessing to Him. You know, and I think of, you know, when my neighbor's barbecue, it smells really, you just, oh, that is pleasing till they start burning it, right? And these are burnt offerings. Think about it. These are like burnt. Why is it aroma pleasing to God? It's not the aroma. It's what the aroma represents. That person came and they gave everything. Are you with me on that? So listen, think about that. Take all of that and plug it in here. And he says, here's what I want you to do, man. I want you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Listen, we don't have to come and die necessarily, if you know what I mean. We don't have to do those things. Here's what we're doing. We're coming and recognizing what God does. And now we're saying, here, God, I don't need more of you. Listen to me carefully. I don't need more of you, God, because you've given me everything. But you need more of me if this relationship's going to go anywhere. Does this sort of blow your mind? Think about that. Think about that with the Lord. God's already giving you everything in this relationship. He's given His Son. And here's what you and I, our response should be. To give Him us. To give back. Now, I started meditating on that and thinking about that. Because oftentimes I think we kind of get in this thing with Christianity to where if I'm going to go deeper with God, that something mystical has to happen. Or if I'm going to go deeper with God, you know, and some of us kind of go the mystic route. Some of us kind of go the contemplative route. We do different things. Here's the thing. You don't need more of God. God's given you all of Him. He's given you everything. Here's what needs to happen. You need to give Him more of you. Now, let's think about that for a moment, not just in our relationship with God, but let's think about that in any relationship we have. Do you know that if we would approach relationships in life with this mindset, I'm going into this relationship not for what I can get out of it, but I'm going into this relationship for what I can put into it. Do you know what that would do with relationships? Think about your marriage. If your marriage was not from what you can get out of your marriage, but from what you can give to your marriage, do you know how powerful that would be in your marriage? Do you know what a blessing that would be to your spouse, your children, your family? When we could just take that on and on and on in every single relationship. And the problem is, sin has entered in and gotten into us, and we're all about, I want to see what I can get out of it. What's in it for me? What can I get out of it? Oh, that makes me feel bad, therefore I'm going to get mad, and I'm going to pick up my toys, and I'm leaving. What about if we turn that around, you see? Because here's what I found. The more I give God, the better my life gets. The freer my life gets. And Paul, that's all Paul is saying. He's not saying, listen, he's not saying, because some people say, you know, if you come and do this and et cetera, et cetera. No, he's saying, why don't you just give God all of you? And listen, it's more than a let go and let God, because some people say that, just let go and let God. No, I want you involved in it. I want you to be thinking about it. I want you to be, you know, intellectually involved. I want you to be emotionally involved. So he says, listen, we offer ourselves a living sacrifice, And then here's what I love. He says, holy and acceptable to God. And that's, again, where a lot of us do, man, I don't know if I was kind of with you, Pat. I was close. It was kind of going good till you got to that whole holy part. And, you know, I got to tell you, on the way to church today, I was sinning. Well, you weren't alone. Listen, you're holy because He made you holy. You're acceptable because He made you acceptable. Once again, go back and read 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. And I believe with all my heart, if we would be people who would simply begin to believe that we're reconciled with God, that Jesus Christ has come and imparted, imputed to us. Remember all that we studied in chapters 5 and 6 and the reality of that, and that He's done it. If He's imparted, imputed to us His holiness, if we would begin to do that, we would be, number one, a lot more holy people because we would be acting like what we believe. And He says, listen, He says, you're holy and acceptable because of that. So why don't you right now just offer yourself and quit making excuses and quit saying, I'm not quite holy enough. I'm not quite good enough. I haven't done this quite enough. Why don't you just today say, you know what? I'm going to believe the Bible today, and I'm going to offer myself as a living sacrifice, and I'm going to believe that that sacrifice is holy and acceptable to God. And then He sort of ends it in the New King James. He ends it. He says, this is your reasonable service. In some of the other translations, He says, this is your spiritual act of worship. We could kind of have it either way, but bottom line, the word is more the word we get logic from. And here's what He's saying, because of everything, it's only the reasonable thing to do. It's only the logical thing to do. If you kind of start putting it together, logically it makes sense. Spiritually it definitely makes sense. So why don't you jump on board and do it? Now listen, I'm kind of looking at you guys, and you're kind of looking at me like, oh, I'm not so sure I want to go that far with Jesus. You know, I was just kind of really hoping not to go to hell. And that's a bummer. That's a heartbreak. You see, because He's calling all of us. We're all in this together. And if you're not rowing your part of the boat, we're kind of not getting very far. We're not going along. We're family. We're in this. And listen, quit believing the lie of the enemy. If you're born again today, I urge you, I beg you, I implore you, by the mercies of God, to offer yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Because you know what's going to happen if you do that? Man, things are going to happen that today you can't even imagine. Things are going to happen in your life that right now you've never even thought of. It is going to go so crazy wild good that you've never even dreamt of it. So how, you know, listen, how practically do I do that? Do I just say a prayer? Well, that's where you can start, because here's what I believe. Listen, when we ask God, He gives us, right? But Paul's got a little bit more. Listen, let's go on. Let's go on, and maybe this will kind of help get our heads around this. Listen, he says, verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So how do I do this? Number one, I think the one way I do it is by not being conformed to this world. Now listen, when he's saying this world, it's interesting. I read some of the commentaries, and even one of the commentaries went so far, and here's what they said. Man, don't let this world conform you like, you know, having electric guitars and drums on stage. Oops. That's not what Paul's, listen, it's not what he's talking about. I don't think Paul even knew there were electric guitars personally, but listen, he's not talking about that stuff. He's not talking about necessarily fashion. What's he talking about? He's talking about the one who's the ruler of the age of this world. Think about when Satan tempted Jesus. What did he tempt him with? The same old temptations. Lust after power, position, whatever you want to call it, testing God, avoiding circumstances. Go back and read those trials. I think John says it, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, right? He talks about those things. So listen, it's those things that he's saying. Don't be conformed, and it's easy, isn't it? Listen, it's so easy to get kind of molded, right? You're kind of going along, and the world starts squeezing in, and it's molding us. And Paul says, don't do that. Don't let the world shape you. Let God shape you. And I think that's the biggest distinction between the world and Christians. I think we should have a different worldview. So, again, I'm not sure he's talking about, you know, and some people say, oh, you know, the youngsters today, they're crazy. Well, you know what? You were crazy when you were a youngster. No matter how old you are, right? Every generation, the kids today. And isn't it interesting? Here's the thing that blows my mind about teenagers. Is teenagers want to be, you know, they don't want to be like the norm, right? They want to be different. They're always saying, I want to be different. I remember I wanted to be different. But here's the crazy thing. As a teenager, you want to be different, but you do, all teenagers do the same exact thing, right? You all kind of dress, all teenagers, you know, no matter what era we're in, the teenagers, my era, listen, in my generation, it was bell bottoms, right? And we used to see who could get the biggest, widest bell bottoms without, you know, sewing one in. They had to be the real deal. You couldn't just like put a piece of cloth in there. And, you know, there was a friend of mine, he took like 4 steps before his pants ever moved. You know, it's like they were huge bells, and you kind of did those. But isn't it interesting? I don't want to be like everybody else, but I do everything everybody else is doing so I can fit in. Well, you know, Paul's talking a little bit about that, but not necessarily. Listen, he's not anti-bell bottoms. He's saying don't let that philosophy, don't let the teachings of this world begin to shape you. And you know, I think one of the greatest tests for ourselves for that is, are there times where you feel like an alien? Kind of feel a little strange walking around? You see things and you wonder, why doesn't everybody else see this? It's like, man, that is so weird. You know, and again, not talking about, but just looking at the world itself. How come they're going that direction? Are you kind of with me on that? See, and Paul says, don't let that happen. Don't be conformed. Don't be pressed into that mold. Don't be squeezed in. And again, obviously it has to do with a lot of things that our culture does, but we've got to be careful. Listen, and so you got to be careful, but listen, how do I keep from being squeezed in? That's a big thing. Well, you know, during the... during like the one part of the early I think it was the 1800s and into the 900s, there was the monastic movement, and they decided they're not going to do it because they're going to remove themselves from the world and kind of get away, and then they won't be squeezed in by the world. You can sin and be convinced of the and conformed into the world by yourself. It's the world thought, the world philosophy. So he says, listen, don't do that. Don't let that happen. And he says this, listen, and do not be conformed to this world, but, and here's the big one, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now here's what I love. Don't be conformed, but be transformed. Conforming is squeezed in. The transforming is the word that we get metamorphosis from, where something just kind of blossoms out of it, comes out of it. Be transformed. And listen, he says you'd be transformed how? By the renewing of your mind. How do I renew my mind? Well, I think I renew my mind by listening once again, by hanging out with him, by being with him. Not just reading our Bibles, but reading our Bibles so that we understand him. You see, there's a huge difference between just gathering information and just gaining information and then intimate conversation, intimate relationship going on. And you see, my mind's renewed when I hang out with Jesus. How do I hang out with Jesus? Well, I definitely get in his word. He's given me his word. I sit and talk to him, listen to him, I hang out with God's people, not exclusively. I hang out with God's people, so they're pouring into me. So they're part of that. And then here's what happens. I'm transformed. I'm not conformed. Listen, there's people who say Christianity, we try and get everybody and make everybody the same. My prayer is we're never all the same here. I don't want us to all be the same. I don't want us to be cookie cutters. I want us to be individuals walking with Jesus in this journey together and adding our character and ourselves and our personality into that so that we can all do this thing called life together. And he says, listen, transformed by the renewing of your mind. And as your mind is renewed, as you're hanging out with Jesus, spending time with Jesus, allowing Jesus into your life, getting that more than information, but having maybe a close conversation with him. As you're doing that, here's what he says, and this is what I love, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do you want to know what the will of God is for your life? Then here's what you need to do. You need to offer yourself as a living sacrifice. And you need to not be conformed to this world, but you need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And as you're doing that, here's what's going to happen. You're going to be transformed, and then you're going to be able to prove or to understand what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God is. And then check this out. Then you get to offer yourself to him again because you're beginning to understand who you are in Christ and what he's done for you. And listen, that is freeing, saints. That is powerful. Now, I want to touch just a little bit because I think most of us, understand this. But when he says, listen, that you may be able to prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, some of yours kind of say maybe that you may be able to prove what is the will of God, good, acceptable, and perfect, and you know, it's written different ways. Here's what some people draw from that there's the good will of God, and then there's the acceptable will of God, and then there's the perfect will of God. That is not what he's talking about. I want us to understand that. Because I've heard people say, well, you know, the good will of God, that's good enough for me. No, God doesn't say, you know what? God doesn't look at us and go, oh man, I was going to do so much with you, but you can just do the good will of God. What kind of God is that? I don't want to serve a God like that. Or, you know what, Pat, I know, man, you're trying so hard. That's what my teachers used to tell me. But it's acceptable. I want the good, acceptable, perfect will of God. How do I get that? To quote Augustine, love God with all your heart and then do whatever you want. I think that's great news. So here's the question. Are you living today? Are you living for eternity? Are you preparing yourself to meet him for heaven, to see him face to face? Is that where you're going right now? Or are you just doing life? Are you just kind of getting through? Listen, I believe there's a lot of Christians that are going to get to heaven, and I think there's even some Christians that are going to be shocked when they get there. But that's not what this is all about. I urge you, I implore you, I beseech you, by the mercies of God, to offer yourselves, every person in here who names the name of Christ, I urge you to offer yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Listen, when we do that, then check this out. The rest of chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14, and most of chapter 15 becomes a reality in our life, and we begin to do life the way God has created us to do life. But you got to start there. And if you haven't done that, today's the day to do that. When we close in prayer, we'll just say a prayer. And we'll just do that and get that taken care of. And we're going to move on. And we're going to go and check this out, man. We are going to be the thermostats of this generation. We're going to get a bunch of t-shirts with dials on them. so you can just go out and you can regulate what's going on in this world. Hallelujah. Let's stand up and pray. Father, we thank you today for your word. God, and I thank you for the challenge that we read here today. Lord, as we look at this, it's, Lord, yeah, there's information there, and we can read it and obviously intellectually get a hold of it. But God, I pray that it's so much deeper than that. I don't want to know this intellectually or just simply intellectually. I want to experience Romans 1 and 2, 12, 1 and 2. I desire, God, to give myself completely and totally to you. And I want my mind renewed. And I thank you for revealing your good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Thank you that it's not a mystery. And I pray right now with my brothers and sisters that are standing here. I pray that as we join hearts together right now, that you would hear us. And God, we just want to say, here we are. We're now offering ourselves to you as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to you, because this is the only thing that makes sense. This is the reasonable service. This is the spiritual act of worship. And I thank you that you hear that prayer. And I thank you that we are right now holy and acceptable to you. And I'm going to ask that you stay in that place of prayer for another couple minutes. And you know what? If you are here today and you're not born again, and we were reading through this stuff and talking about this stuff, and maybe the Lord drew you a little bit and began to draw on your heart, and you're thinking, man, I hear that, but I don't even know that I've been reconciled to God yet. Well, you know what? Today's the day of salvation. Right now, you can give your heart, you can give your life to Jesus by simply telling him that you know that you're a sinner, by telling him that you understand now, this morning, that Jesus Christ died on a cross for you, and you want that reality in your life and in your heart. You want to accept what he's done for you. So if you want to do that, I'm going to just say a prayer. I'm going to put words in your mouth, and I'm going to say this prayer, and you can say it with me out loud, you can say it silently, but you need to be sincere. You need to mean it. Maybe you've been backslidden, you've walked away from the Lord for a while, and you know what? Today's the day to come home. I always want to challenge those guys, man. If you're here today, maybe you came today because of mom. And if you're here and you're one of those and you've backslidden, and you're here because of mom and the Lord spoke to you, come home. Come back to Jesus right now. So say this prayer with me. Jesus, today I confess to you that I am a sinner. And I'm sorry that I sinned against you. And now I'm asking you to forgive me. Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you right now for your forgiveness. And now I'm asking you to come into my heart, and I want you to come into my life. Today, I'm asking you to be my Lord and my Savior. If you said that prayer with me or something like it and you meant it sincerely, I'm going to ask you to put your hand up in the air, put it high up in the air so I can see it and I can pray for you and celebrate with you. Recognize that. I see yours here in the middle. I see yours there in the back. God bless you. Anyone else? Greatest decision you'll ever make. Father, I thank you for those hands that went up. And Lord, I pray right now that you would reveal yourself to them, that they would understand the depth of your love, the greatness of your forgiveness, that they would know that by your blood, they've been set free right now from the bondage of sin. That by your blood, their guilt and their shame has been washed away and they're cleansed. They don't have to live with that. And that now they can walk with you, they can honor you. So encourage and strengthen and bless them. And for all of us, God, as we leave, we do want to be those living sacrifices. We want to be the thermostats that are going to impact and change and regulate the temperature of our world, God. So take us and use us. Let us be world changers. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Celebrate with those who've made that commitment. Hey, if you said that prayer, and especially those who raised their hand, a couple things. We want to make sure you have a Bible. If you don't own a Bible, please see us. We want to get a Bible into your hand. We want to make sure that you have that. And again, it's to renew your mind. It's to understand who He is. So see us. We'll get a Bible to you. Then also, I'm going to ask you when we're all dismissed after the last song, make your way over here to the prayer room, the room on my right there, and let them know that you said that prayer and you want a new believer's packet. And that's just something to help you grow. I'm not calling you out to embarrass you. We want to bless you and minister to you. So make your way over there. Let them know. And then also, you know what? You need to let somebody know that you made that decision. I'm thinking maybe the people who brought you, or you can let us know, and that way you can be discipled. We'll connect you with somebody, and they can come alongside, they can disciple you, and then every Sunday at our next service at 11 o'clock in Building B next door, we have our foundation class going on, and listen, that's a way where you can grow and get a firm, strong foundation. And man, I would just encourage you to do that. And especially some of us, listen, I know some of us, man, our foundations are not good. They're shaky right now. And if a strong storm comes our way, we're liable to crash and burn. And hey, if you're that, go take the foundation class, get it firmed up and get it ready so you can face the storms of life. So that goes on every Sunday at 11. Hey, as we get ready to go, don't forget, man, as we're leaving, that you can hire one of the teens where they're earning some money to go to Keno Bay, and you can see Pastor Ryan. You can get a hold of him, let him know that you want to do that. If you play a musical instrument, you can see Pastor Rob and get information in on that. Ladies Bible study getting ready to start up. Then VBS, we can use some volunteers. Hey, if you got, like, you can take some time off in June, the second week in June. Hey, go online, volunteer. If you have a hard time doing that, come in. We will do it for you, or you click one of the links either on the website or in the bulletin, and you can get that done. But listen, we can really use your help. And as you get ready to go, man, I'm hoping, here's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping there's like a sweet-smelling aroma going up to heaven right now because of the sacrifices going on in this facility. God bless you guys.